and welcome to our service for the 21st of February 2021 here in Bedhampton in Hampshire. My name is Max. I'm the rector, the church leader in Bedhampton. It's good to welcome you to my living room this morning as we worship together this morning. Just a few notices, bit of news before we begin to let you know what's going on. Just to say, you probably get most of these if you are already on our mailing list via our notice sheet, which gets delivered by email each week. If you're not, then do just get in touch with me and let me know that you want to get hold of that. That is more than fine. Also to say that if you are missing your communion service, we do a midweek communion service which we stream live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. and then it's available afterwards. So don't miss out on that if that is your preferred type of service as we come to worship our God. I love the fact that we can worship our God in all sorts of ways here in Bedhampton. And indeed, that's part of our vision here in Bedhampton, that we can worship in a range of styles. And I thought I should update you briefly as well before we begin on the way forward for our deanery here in Havant. So churches or the Church of England are broken down into dioceses and then archdeaconries and deaneries. And we are in the deanery of Havant. And we have been exploring what it means to be the church in the Havant and the surrounding areas moving forward for a while now. A small group of us have been meeting after the diocese requested that we have a look at it, or the whole diocese. And this week, it's being presented back to the diocese. It's the beginning of a discussion about what it means to be church in the Portsmouth area moving forward. So be praying for that and asking God for details about, maybe asking His Spirit to speak to you about that. And be praying for those who will be presenting to the diocese this week. We'll update you as things go along about what it means and what's come out of that investigation moving forward. And of course, you'll be aware, no doubt, that we are looking to refurbish St Nicholas's, starting with the toilets at St Nicholas's. And I'd encourage you as well to pick up one of those leaflets that I've spoken about a few times from St Thomas's during the week when it's open Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Or on the website. You can go to the website and there's an icon right on the front page talking about what we're doing. In fact, if you've been considering partnering with us on that, can you let us know as soon as possible, even if you're going to wait for a little while to do that? It'd be helpful for us as your leadership to understand where we are as we move forward. So maybe even today, just send a quick email, let us know where you are with that. Talking of which, you may have noticed, or you may just have been very kind, but the lockdown has not been kind to my waistline. And if you've got a news sheet this week, you may have noticed a new heading on there, which I called Fat Rector Slim. This is from, for those of us from a certain era of music, will remember Fat Boy Slim. So I've stolen that title. But the goal here is not only for me to get a bit more healthy, but also to raise some money for the refurbishment of St Nicholas's. So if you want to match me perhaps pound for pound, or even 50p for pound, or 20p for pound, or whatever you decide, you can go on the website and have a look at that. If you go to bedhampton.church/max, you'll find out details about that. And of course, I need all your encouragement to lose a bit of this that's gone on, not just over the lockdown, but over the last few years, and get back to being a little bit slimmer, shall we say. But of course, that's not all. That is not why we're here normally. We're here to worship our God. As we approach our worship, we're here to ask God what it means to worship Him, to please Him. Our worship is not about, as you know, pleasing ourselves, but actually about coming before God and acknowledging He is Lord of the universe and He came for us. And sometimes we start these services with some words on the screen, which we repeat. But today, I thought we'd do something a little bit different. I'm going to play a reading, our second reading for today. So you'll forgive Colin when he introduces it as the second reading, because it's me that changed the order. And I want you to just listen to this very short passage from one of the Gospels, and then we'll come back and we'll begin our service in earnest.
The second reading is from John chapter 10, verses 27 to 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So Colin there, reading from the book of John. Did you hear those words? Jesus is speaking to those who know him and saying that actually they will know his voice. And of course we know that that is through the Holy Spirit. So we hear God's guidance through this book, the scriptures, but also through God's Spirit. And we're reminded, for those of us that know Jesus, we will recognise his voice. And so I thought we'd take a moment to just be quiet and to seek God's voice. Now that might be, you know, for you, I don't know how that works for you. You might find that in the next few moments that you get a nudge from God. You might find that you have a picture in your head, perhaps what you might consider your imagination, but God's Spirit can use that. Or maybe even a simple word or a verse from the Bible. So let's take a moment to be quiet, wherever you are, and just come before God and see what he does with us as we move forward in our worship. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us now, I pray. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us in all sorts of ways. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Amen. Just as we were just waiting on God there for a moment, I had an image or a couple of images in my mind, which, you know, I believe was God, and an image of someone getting up from a bench and walking on a path. And I'm just wondering if that might mean that there's someone this morning out there who is ready to move on in the next part of their journey, whatever that be. I mean, I would hope that might be with God, but maybe someone out there is having to make a decision about what the next part of their journey is, and now God is encouraging you to make that move. We're going to sing a song now, In Christ Alone.
Oh,
hope you enjoyed that song. As we were listening to that song here in the room, I've got Becky and my daughter and Paul, my future son-in-law, and Susie with me. And Susie shared a picture that she had in her head during that time we began with. She shared a picture of a what she thought initially was a bonsai tree, but perhaps was a small tree laden down by the looks of it with fruit, and how the fruit was falling to the ground and then just staying there. And I wonder if that means anything to anyone this morning. My first thought would be that actually, if we're not using our fruit, if we're not using the skills and the gifts that God has given us, and then that's a waste, I guess, would be fruit rotting on the floor. But maybe God will speak to you about that. If he does, do let me know. Let me know what God might say to you. So talking of using our giftings and our fruit, we do this thing occasionally, we call this time tomorrow, where we look at what it means for someone who to live out their faith. And I invited Catherine Langhorn this week to come online with me and to speak to me about what's been happening in her life and how her faith has been working out. So let me show you and speak to Catherine now.
So thanks for coming online, Catherine. We do this section we call This Time Tomorrow, which is just getting behind what people do during the week and how their faith interacts. But before we get into that a bit, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, your family and the building that you attend, and let us know who you are.
Okay. Hi. I'm Catherine. I'm married to Nigel, who's a retired Royal Naval officer. Did 30 odd years in the Navy. We have three children. All of now married. Claire, our youngest, lives in Surbiton, and as some of you know, she only got married last year, which was a bit traumatic, but it happened, thankfully, and Max did a lovely service for us. My middle son, Adam, is in the army based in Cyprus, and my eldest is an automotive engineer working on electric cars based in near Warwick.
The reason I dragged you on is because you've been doing some volunteering.
I have been doing some volunteering. I have some very good friends who I worked with when I was in community pharmacy for many years. They owned a business in Southsea. And they were one of the first people I got to know that was non-naval when I was married and moved down here. And I worked for them in the pharmacy, and their daughters used to babysit, and subsequently their eldest daughter became Claire's godmother. Their two girls work at the Swan Surgery in Petersfield. One's the business manager, one's their senior practice nurse. And I heard in early December that they were fortunate to be one of the first hubs to offer vaccinations. And I just said, I'll help out. I want to do my bit. Had a little bit of a moment where I thought I'm putting myself at risk, but then I thought, no, this would be really good to do something positive towards it. So we started back in December. The afternoon before, 4:30 came, no vaccine had arrived. 5:00, luckily the vaccine arrived, the cheer went up, and we set to. And the first day we did about 300 something vaccines with the Pfizer vaccine, and the last day I worked last week we did 1200 a day with the Oxford vaccine. It's been great. It has been very rewarding, fun, sad in some ways, humbling. I see these people who have literally not been out their house since last March, and they are so grateful. It just brings a tear to the eye. I mean, we actually had one lady in tears last week. She was a lady in her 40s on the clinically vulnerable, and she was just so grateful to be there. And when I get home exhausted with eye strain from sitting at the computer, I think it's been worthwhile.
I guess the question that comes to my mind is, I mean, how does your faith impact this volunteering, or how does the volunteering impact your faith?
I think with my faith, I think it's given me the courage to do it, to step forward and move on and a bit put my head above the parapet, as we're all saying, we've got to look outwards and actually think of the bigger picture, think of others. And I think generally, and this isn't just over the last few months and weeks, but over the last 2 or 3 years, I've felt I've become a more thoughtful, caring person, a bit more aware of situations. And actually, I've just reflecting on the service from Sunday and the reading that I did, which obviously I'd read it 2 or 3 times before I did the recording. But your sermon really then explained it well, Max. And that was very much how I was feeling of taking things up,
right,
moving forward, and just being a bit bolder about things, and knowing I've got that comfort at the back of my mind. I think as most scientists find, it's very hard to understand things that you can't say 1 + 1 = 2 and see it visually. And of course, faith is not at all like that. But I think I've become more accepting of that, and with that, gained greater understanding.
Yeah, lovely to hear, Catherine. I mean, certainly it's been a joy for me to see your journey over the last couple of years, and with all that's going on with the Alpha and the online courses we've been doing as well. So
yes.
So just as we finish, what should we be praying for, either for you or also the other volunteers as well out there?
Oh, just the strength to carry on with a smile on our face. And it's not just the volunteers, obviously, it's all the staff. There's a whole team and fantastic camaraderie. So really just to pray for the whole team in a very difficult task. Just one thing I would say, that the team I'm working with, we get very short notice of when we're getting the vaccine. We're lucky that we've actually had a week's notice this week. Sometimes it's 2 days, and then we have the staff having to phone up anything between 600, 700, 1200 patients to get them in. So I'd just like to pray for absolutely everybody involved in the vaccine process, right down from the scientists who developed it, to the nurse who's giving it, to the tea workers who are keeping us supplies and tea, and to the patients for being so patient and kind, coming out in all weathers. As you know, we've had some pretty rough weather, and we've had elderly people having to queue a bit longer than we wanted, but getting everybody in. So that on the vaccine side, I think that's where I feel. And then just generally for people, for everybody with their families that we can't see, and just hope and pray that we can soon be able to see our loved ones.
That's fantastic, Catherine. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I know you do lots of stuff for us, but I wanted to chat about this.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Thank you for that, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you,
Matt. Thank you, Matt.
So there you go, someone using the giftings that they have to help others. And look at them, I just love the fact that she spoke about looking out. That's what we're doing right now, isn't it? We've done a lot of time looking at what God will want us to do, and now we're looking out to actually do that. So it was great to interview Catherine for that. And I hope to bring some more of those to you over the coming weeks as well. But before we move on, let's pray for Catherine and for the other volunteers as well, and the doctors and nurses who are in these areas where they're giving out the vaccine. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for the vaccines. We thank you for the provision of those, for the scientists that develop them, for your guidance in that. And we lift to you those who are distributing the vaccines, whether they are volunteers or whether they are in the medical field. We lift to you the admin, we lift to you those who direct cars, those who welcome people. Give them the strength that they need. Amen. Fantastic. So we're going to come to our what is actually our second reading, but again, Emily will probably introduce it as our first reading, but I changed the order of things. And Emily, who is doing the reading for us, is on with us on placement at the moment as she looks at what God is calling her to. Actually, there's a theme of giftings today, isn't there? It wasn't deliberately planned, but that seems to be coming out through the Holy Spirit as we go along. And Emily is looking at what giftings that she has and what God might be calling her to in those. But she's going to read our reading for us today.
Today's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this: the one who began a work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defiance and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, for how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer: that your love may overflow more and more with the knowledge and full insight to help you determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to Christ. Thank you for that, Emily. And so she was reading for Philippians, which is our book for Lent this year. And we are moving forward in our Lent group, which is called Discipleship Explored. And if you want to find out more about Discipleship Explored, you can go to our website here. In fact, if you want to be part of the Discipleship Explored group, do just send me an email or give me a phone call and let me know that you want to be part of that. We are meeting on a Wednesday at 11:30 and 7:30 p.m. So 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. But you can go and explore Discipleship Explored on our website and what that means. And there are discussion videos up there as well. But today, Peter Hall, who worships with us at St. Nicholas normally, is going to explore the first part of Discipleship Explored.
Good morning. Today we begin a series of Sunday sermons looking through Paul's letter to the Philippians. Alongside this, in our small groups, we'll be discovering a bit more about the Sunday theme by delving deeper into Philippians through the Discipleship Explored course. Can I just give a plug for small groups? Rosalind and I have been coming to Bedhampton now for just over 2 years. We found it a really friendly church and have enjoyed worship at both our Sunday churches. After a few months, somebody invited us to join their small group, and it's been fantastic. We meet every other week to study the Bible, and those discussions have really helped us to know the Bible better and to get to know each other better. If I need encouragement, my friends in the house group, well, they give it to me in spades. And if I need prayer, well, house group is the first place that I turn. So if you're not yet in a small group, can I encourage you to give it a go? Maybe during this time of Lent, just for a taster and see how it goes. Talk to Max, because just like Bob the Builder, he'll fix it for you. Well, this morning, we are at the very start of Philippians, and our theme is being confident in Christ. So before we tackle the text, what do we know about Paul's letter to the Philippians? I don't receive many actual letters these days, but recently one arrived through my letterbox. As I opened it, I was interested in three things. First, who it was from. Well, the letter was from the Queen Alexandra Hospital. Who was it to? Well, it was to me. So I was making sure I wasn't opening Rosalind's letters. And then why were they contacting me? Well, they were letting me know the results of a recent test. Neither COVID nor pregnancy, you'll be relieved to hear. We need to know those same three things from the letter to the Philippians if we're going to make sense of it in the 21st century. So who was it from? Philippians is one of several letters written by the Apostle Paul, who was a first century Jesus apprentice and a prolific church planter. And Bible scholars think that the letter was written around 61 AD. It's sometimes been called the love letter to the church because it's the most intimate and the most joyful of all Paul's letters. It was probably written from either Ephesus or Rome, where Paul was in prison. And although he's in jail now, Paul hopes to be released soon and to come back and visit Philippi. So who's it to? Well, it was written to the church in Philippi, which was the capital city of Macedonia in the northern part of Greece. And it was the first place in Europe to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. It was a military outpost with only a few Jews living there, but it had a church, which was established by the missionary endeavours of Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke. And if you want to know more about the founding of the church in Philippi, well, read Acts 15 and 16, because it's all there. The church loved Paul, and Paul clearly loved the church. And because of that love, they had financially supported his ministry even after he'd left them. So why was the letter written? Well, the purpose of the letter was to reassure the church that he was okay and that he was in good spirits, and also to thank them for their generous financial support. You see, in those days, prisoners didn't get fed. And if Paul was in a prison, well, he'd have to rely for food on the generosity of his friends. So, no money, no meals. It was also written, though, to encourage unity in the church and to give some advice about issues that were going on in the Philippian church at the time. So that's a bit of the background of Philippians. Now let's have a closer look at what Paul says at the beginning of the letter. And the major thing for this morning is that Paul had confidence. I'm not sure if I've already shared with you that before ordination, I was a member of an operatic society in Hereford, and we did musicals. And one of my favourite roles was Rolf in The Sound of Music. I was 27 when I sang I Am 17 Going on 18, but I learned a valuable life lesson there. With good makeup and light, anything's possible. Anyway, in the first act of the show, Maria sings the song I Have Confidence. You might know it. It ends with these words: I have confidence in confidence alone, besides which you see, I have confidence in me. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul also speaks about having confidence. But Paul's confidence is of a completely different kind to that of Maria von Trapp. Maria's confidence is the kind of confidence that we see all around the world today. It's all about the power of self-belief, the power of positive thinking. Basically, it's the power of me, 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 and what I can do if I just put my mind to it. But in contrast, Paul has no self-reliance because all his hope, all his trust, all his confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken him literally from darkness. Do you remember he was blinded when he first met Jesus and became a Christian? And Jesus has taken him from darkness into the kingdom of light. He writes in verse 6 of our reading this morning, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I really love the Messages version, the Messages translation of this bit. It goes like this. It says, "I am so pleased that you have continued on in this with us, believing and proclaiming God's message. From the day you heard it right up until the present, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears." Paul is absolutely confident in the power and the presence of God, which is absolutely amazing when you think he's writing this from a prison cell, probably chained to the Roman soldier who's guarding him. How on earth can he have confidence in God when his circumstances are so dire? I believe his confidence comes from two really important sources. The first is the scriptures. Paul was a man of the Bible. As a Pharisee, he'd spent hours and hours reading and studying God's word. And so from the scriptures, he knew some important facts about God. He knew that God was gracious. And he would have known that because he probably read Exodus 34, where God says, "The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." Do you know that God is gracious? Paul knew that God was powerful because he'd have read Psalm 147. He'd have read, "Great is the Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure." Do you know that God is powerful? And Paul knew that God was always there, because Paul would have known the story of Jonah, and he'd have read in the scriptures, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Do you know that God is always there? Paul knew that in good times and bad, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, God would be with him. Knowing the Bible, reading the Bible, remembering the promises in the Bible reminds us of the God that Jesus has revealed to us, the God in whom we can have complete confidence. I wonder what verses you go to when things get tough and you need a reminder. One of my go-to verses is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. And it says this, "The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Paul was a man of the scriptures. His confidence came from knowing the Bible, but his confidence also came from his everyday experience of Jesus in his life. He'd met the living Jesus in a dramatic way on the road to Damascus. He knew what it felt like to be filled with and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Paul had seen lives transformed and prayers answered. If you read Acts 16, you'll discover